بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، we now begin with the next verse, and that is إهدنا الصراط المستقيم. And if you remember, last week we mentioned the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in which he said that Allah said, I have divided Surah Al-Fatiha in two halves. And the first half was the praise of Allah. Now we get to the second half, and what did Allah say? Allah said, this shall be for my servant, and my servant will get whatever he asks for. وَلِعَبْدِ مَا سَأَلْ. So this half of Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah has promised us we will get it if we ask him in an appropriate manner. And even before we begin, imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what to say and how to ask him and what to ask him. And this in and of itself should give us an optimism. The King of Kings has told us, this is how you should ask me. These are the wordings. This is how I want you to plead for your guidance. So the very fact that the wording of the petition, the very fact that the forms have been handed to us directly by Allah, all we have to do is fill it out and hand it back. This should give us an optimism that insha'Allah ta'ala, our dua will be accepted. Also realize that this surah teaches us some of the etiquettes of dua, and that is a whole different topic, and I have spoken about that here on this minbar, and I also have a book about the etiquettes of dua. But very briefly, from Surah Al-Fatiha, yes, we're asking Allah for hidayah, we want guidance, but we got there in verse number 4 and 5. We didn't begin our dua, oh Allah, give me this. No, whenever you want anything from Allah, there's a protocol, there's an etiquette, there's manners, and Surah Al-Fatiha teaches those manners. What are some of those manners? First and foremost, you begin by praising Allah. You begin your dua by praising Allah. Before you get to me, I and myself, you begin by saying Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, oh Allah, to you is all praise. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And you mention Allah's names and attributes. So of the etiquettes of making dua is to praise Allah by mentioning His names and attributes. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Malik, Ya Kareem. Whatever dua you want to make, you find a name that is appropriate for that dua. You want forgiveness? Ya Ghafoor, Ya Ghaffar. You want money? Ya Kareem, Ya Razzaq. You want a child? Ya Wahhab, Ya Wadud. Whatever your need is, you will find a name of Allah that is appropriate. And if you can't find any name, then the most comprehensive name of Allah is Ya Rabb, Rabbana. Because our Lord, the Rabb means what? The one who has to take care of, to nourish, to sustain. And even in the Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And the name Rabb is useful in every and any dua. Whatever your need, you have to ask your Rabb. So you praise Allah, you mention His names, then you mention your own weakness. Oh Allah, I am your abd, your faqir. Like Musa, when he was in Madian, what did Musa say? Rabbi, inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh Rabb, I am a faqir to your mercy. I'm a faqir, I need you. So iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. This is that relationship. Oh Allah, I need you for everything. I ask you for your help. So you praise Allah, you mention His names and attributes. Then you mention, who are you? What did Adam say when he was expelled from Jannah? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. If you don't give it to me, O Allah, I'm lost. I need you, O Allah. So there's an element of pleading, of begging, of yes, desperation, because wallahi, we are desperate for Allah's mercy. And we show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of this is taught to us by Surah Al-Fatiha. Also, what does Surah Fatiha teach us? That when we ask Allah, we ask Him for that which is most important. Yes, wallahi, we want to have lots of money. That's a human nature. We want to have good families. It's human nature. And we make dua to Allah for that. But let us also ask Allah for hidayah, for maghfirah, for jannah. What does Allah teach us in the Quran? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. We have to ask for both. And unfortunate is the one who only asks for the dunya and doesn't ask for the akhirah. So the most important thing we ask for, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Now what does hidayah? These are some of the etiquettes of dua from Surah Al-Fatiha, by the way. What is hidayah? We are saying اِهْدِنَا. Linguistically, the word hidayah means to guide in a gentle and beautiful manner. Linguistically, the word hada and hidayah means to guide in a gentle and beautiful manner. And it is usually used for beneficial advice. It is not a coincidence that in Arabic, a gift is called what? Hadiyah. And guidance is called hidayah, the same root. Because hadiyah is a monetary gift of generosity. You give it out of pure goodwill. You don't expect anything back. And hidayah is a gift of knowledge, a gift of morality, a gift of guidance. It's not a coincidence. A hadiyah is from your money. A hidayah is from your knowledge. And we want Allah Azza wa Jal to guide us. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. The famous scholar of the Arabic language, Imam Raghib al-Isfahani, and he was really, for your information, a non-Arab. He was from Iran, and he became a master of the Arabic language. He was the first scholar. He died, don't quote me on this, but around 450 Hijr, so very early, 1,000 years ago. He was the first scholar to write a dictionary of every single word in the Quran. It's literally called Mufradat al-Quran al-Kareem. And it is one of the most amazing books ever written. And I have it literally on my shelf. I have a library right next to my desk. One of the first books I can reach is this one because I use it all the time. It is called Mufradat al-Quran al-Kareem. Every single word in the Quran, it's only a dictionary of Quranic Arabic. If a word is not in the Quran, it's not going to be in that dictionary. And he has pages of commentary of every single word, and he is one of the earliest authors who wrote a dictionary of the Arabic language of Quranic Arabic. So if you look at Hidayah in that dictionary, he has a beautiful 4-page discussion of what does this word mean. And of what he says is that Hidayah is of 4 types. Hidayah is of 4 types. Number one, he said, a hidayah that Allah has put in us by His creation. Every human has it. The hidayah of common sense, the hidayah of aql, the hidayah of the fitrah. We innately know good from evil, right from wrong. This is a hidayah that is bestowed in every human being. You have, in English we call it a moral compass, or you can call it a conscience. Every one of us has that hidayah. Number two, the second hidayah, is the hidayah that Allah has revealed from the tongues of the prophets and in the books that He has revealed. So this is a hidayah of guidance. So the hidayah of the intellect meets with the hidayah of the prophets, and they should complement one another. And this leads to the third hidayah, and that is the hidayah from Allah to actually be a worshipper of Allah, right? So this is the hidayah that you're actually becoming a worshipper. Some people know the truth and they don't accept it. Shaytan, Iblis, Abu Jahl, Abu Talib, they know the truth and they're not going. Fir'aun is an example, right? So they have the first two hidayah. Musa comes to him, Fir'aun hears. Fir'aun has an intellect, but he rejects. That's the third hidayah. The third hidayah is Allah guiding you into Islam. And then the fourth hidayah is the hidayah to be guided into Jannah. And Al-Raghib al-Isfahani said, each one of these hidayahs follows from the one before it. In order to get to 2, you have to have 1. In order to get to 3, you have to have 1 and 2. And if you understand it, it's very straightforward. The hidayah of common sense, the hidayah of the Prophet's message, the hidayah that Allah causes you now to accept Islam, it's a blessing. And then once you've accepted Islam and you're a Muslim, then you want Allah's hidayah to get you into Jannah. Which of these hidayahs is in ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim? It is all of them. We want Allah's hidayah in all of these categories and elements. So ihdina, we want Allah's hidayah to what? As-sirat al-mustaqim. As-sirat is a very interesting word. In Arabic, you have many words for path. Sabil, tariq. And yet Allah says sirat. Allah doesn't say ihdina as-sabil al-mustaqim. Or al-tariq al-mustaqim. In Surah Al-Fatiha, it is al-sirat al-mustaqim. Even though in other verses, Allah says sabil and tariq, right? Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the tariq of guidance. Allah mentions that that this is sabilullah, wala tattabi'u subul, don't follow the other subul. Fatafarraqa bikum an sabilihi. You'll be turned away from the sabil of Allah. But in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah mentions sirat. What is the difference between sabil and tariq and sirat? Very quickly, sabil is a small passageway. Perhaps not even somebody has walked on it yet, and yet it's going to be called a sabil. If you're lost in the jungle, you can make your own sabil back to the road. You'll create a new sabil. So sabil is a small passageway. Tariq is a road, but generally the tariq is a smaller road, like an alleyway. And a tariq could be easy and it could be difficult. The tariq could be flat and the tariq could be mountainous. The word sirat linguistically, not just in the Quran, the word sirat linguistically means a massive, huge, level, flat highway. The word sirat, it cannot mean a crooked path. It cannot mean a bumpy path. It cannot mean a narrow path. We're just talking about the Arabic word sirat. The word sirat itself implies that it is massive, that it is straight, that it is level, that it is clearly demarcated. You're not gonna get lost. You know what the sirat is, you know what's outside of it. You know the road. It's just like when you're on the main highway. You cannot possibly mistake the main highway for the roads outside of this masjid. They're too small. These roads are sabil and tariq. The main highway that's connecting two major cities, that is like a sirat. And by the way, there's a theory, and Allah knows best, that the English word street also goes back in origin to the Arabic word sirat, because the English word street goes to ancient Latin, the ancient Latin word. I wrote this down somewhere, I think. Yes, I did write it down. It goes back to the ancient Latin word sirat, and the ancient stirat, excuse me, with the T. And the ancient Latin word meant the main road in the city, the straight road in the city. And Allah knows, but it seems too close, the Latin word to the Arabic word. Perhaps there is some Semitic influence on ancient Latin which made its way into English. The word street and the word sirat seem to have some connection. But in any case, that's beyond the scope of what we're concerned about in tafsir. The point being that Allah Azza wa Jal calls His path a sirat. Why? Because number one, it is level. It's not crooked. It's not bumpy. Number two, it is vast. It's massive. It's not hidden. Number three, it's clearly demarcated from that which is outside. The sirat will not be confused with any other. And that is why Allah never uses the word sirat in the plural. There can only be one sirat. And actually, as I said, I looked this up in ancient Latin, every city only had one sirat, one street. This is ancient, not modern. Of course, modern Memphis, you have many streets here. But in the classical language, there was only one in every city. You couldn't have multiple. And subhanAllah, it seems as if this meaning comes from Semitic languages, because you can only have one sirat. Allah never uses the word sirat in plural in the Arabic language. In the Quran, excuse me. Of course, you can use it outside of the Quran. In the Quran, it's only found in the singular, because there's only one. So we want to be guided to the straight, massive path. And what is the description of this path? As-sirat al-mustaqim. And mustaqim is typically translated as straight, but that's only one of the meanings of istiqama. There's many meanings of istiqama. Istiqama, it comes from the root qama, which means to stand up. And there's a connotation of perfection here. And that is why Allah says in the Quran, when He tells us to pray, how is the command to pray in the Quran always given? Aqimus salah. From istiqama. Allah never says, not once, sallu. Never once in the Quran is the command, sallu, to pray. It's always aqimus salah. Alladhina yuqimuna salah. From the same root as istiqama. Because istiqama implies perfection. Istiqama implies righteousness. Istiqama implies you're doing it correctly. It's not just the straight path. It is the correct path. It is the moral path. It is the upright path. It is the path of no crookedness. So all of these meanings come into sirat al-mustaqim. And inshallah we'll continue. There's much more to say. Time is limited. And honestly, brothers and sisters, I'm not exaggerating. Wallahi, there's only 3-4 days left. And yet we could easily extend this tafsir for another 20 sessions. But unfortunately, time is of the essence, so we're going to have to condense the remainder literally in 3 or 4 days, so we finish Surah Al-Fatiha at least in this beautiful month. And I reiterate, the goal of this tafsir is that when we recite Fatiha 17 times a day minimum, and that's for the one who's not that practicing, for the one who's praying regularly the sunnah and the nawafil, at least 30 times a day we are reciting this ayah, this surah in the Quran. The point is that every time we recite it, we should feel a sense of awe. We should should understand these beautiful words. We should appreciate why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us to recite these verses over and over again. May Allah azza wa jal guide us to Sirat al-Mustaqim. And we will continue this discussion tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.